Welcome back to 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Rob, before the break, we were talking about the impacts of this NDP Liberal, we're going to use the word coalition because it's out there, on the impact to Canadians and retirement. We've been joined by Lori Williams, the associate professor at Mount Royal University. You know, Lori, there's a lot of fear out there, especially with people who are higher income, higher net worth. The concern about these two parties working together on taxation, which has yet to be discussed in full. We understand that there's some issues about flipping houses and so forth. We've understood about that part of that. But there's a real big concern. Capital gains tax going up, higher income tax, maybe a requirement to withdraw more money out of your RSPs to get that tax money in quicker and so forth. All these different things. Some have been part of their election campaigns. And some of them are made up stuff that we are seeing out there for sure. From your perspective, Lori, what's the impact to Canadians as they go through retirement? These are people who've saved money, who've got higher incomes, who have to start to withdraw and pay tax on this. Where do you see the impact with this new NDP Liberal coalition?
I think the biggest concern folks have centers on the costs, whether it be pharmacare, dental care, the cost of the pandemic up until this point. And if you're persuaded, as many liberal politicians and conservative politicians have been historically concerned about deficits and debt, the cumulative debt, the cost of servicing the debt, and so forth, these are real concerns. And a lot of people don't want to see either the short-term costs that might come in higher taxation, particularly taxation on things like capital gains or withdrawals from RSPs and so forth. They're concerned in the short term about those costs, but in the long term about the costs that might be associated with servicing the debt for their children and their grandchildren. What seems to have become more popular in recent years is this focus, rather than on the total debt, rather focusing on the debt to GDP ratio. And in Canada, we went into the recession in a much better position with respect to the debt to GDP ratio than any other G7 country, even G20 country. We're in very good shape compared with those other countries. And I think we're still doing relatively well on that count, but the reality is the pandemic has increased exponentially the size of the deficit and the debt. And a lot of people are very concerned, not just with what that's going to cost today, but we're now looking at not just the spending that's already been done during the pandemic, which presumably in economic growth can be paid back in relatively short order. Now we're looking at increased spending to help Ukraine. And that spending is going to likely continue. There are demands for increased defense spending. Defense spending looked like a less important thing, I think, in previous years. But now I think everybody's taking very seriously the fact that we have to have effective weaponry or military spending in order to thwart potential advancement out of places like Russia or other countries to defend Canada. We're hearing strategic experts talk about and reminding us that we actually have a northern border essentially adjacent to Russia, and that we could potentially be in jeopardy. Well, defense spending is significant. So now we're coming into a time where, even though oil revenues are coming in higher numbers because of all this international uncertainty, we are seeing potentially increased defense spending, increased aid for the people in Ukraine and those that are fleeing the conflict in Ukraine, an increased influx of immigration from Ukraine, from Afghanistan, and the need to deal effectively with even those who are staying here temporarily and want to return, for example, to Ukraine once the conflict has diminished. So there are a whole lot more sources of uncertainty, things that are likely to cost money, and those concerns are legitimate. But the reality is that the price of oil, the costs of defense, and all of these other factors hinge on things that are outside Canada's control. And it wouldn't matter if it were a Conservative, an NDP, a Liberal, or a Green government in power, those all would be the same. The other thing I think is really important to understand in this context is that a lot of people think that it would be better for the oil industry to have a Conservative government in power in Ottawa than the current Liberal government, particularly given the demands being made of it by the NDP. But Mark Carney, the former governor of the Bank of Canada, is involved in international investment advising still. And he is insisting that the oil industry has to strike a better balance between energy and the environment if people are going to have confidence in investing in that sector. So I think actually there's an opportunity in this particular sector. And it's an important sector in Canada. It's a source of enormous revenues in Alberta, but also a source of enormous revenues in Ottawa. And could, if this oil price continues to go up, could be one way of offsetting some of the costs that we just talked about. But that investment will not be stable and continuous unless that this balance between energy and the environment is one that investors have confidence in. So as I see it, there's an opportunity there.
Do you see the fear that many have spoken to us about with tax rates getting, you know, going skyrocketing and new ways of receiving revenue from the quote unquote wealthy individuals? Do you see that happening in the next 3 years with this minority government coalition that we're talking about?
I think what we have seen so far from the Liberals, and again, in this coalition agreement, that it has not been specifically addressed. We have seen discussions on the part of the Liberals about taxing the super wealthy. I don't think that's going to affect people that are, you know, just sort of in the middle class range, people that are either on the cusp of retirement, about to retire, actually drawing revenue from their RSPs. I don't see a signal at all in any of the discussions that we've seen up until this point. I don't see any signal at all about increasing the tax for that group. What I do see is, just because of the housing shortage, more discussions about limiting the kinds of money that people make by purchasing properties or housing units simply for investment purposes, because that has a disadvantageous effect on folks that can't afford to get into the housing market currently. So I do think that's one area where there might be a change, but I don't see any specific policies or signals beyond what we've already seen in terms of increasing tax for those who are in the upper middle class range of wealth.
We've got about a minute left, Rob. I know you and I have had a whole bunch of questions. Is there anyone on your list you want to ask Lori before we have to go to commercial break?
Maybe just a quick one, Lori, on, do you see any other new legislation coming out from this coalition?
Well, yeah, the changes that will, and who knows if this will happen. I mean, we're talking about a deal that lasts till June 2025. Even if they bring into place, as they're promising, pharmacare and dental care, those initiatives cannot be acted on unless and until they have the cooperation of the provinces. This is not something the federal government can do alone, but they can do something, just as they've done with childcare. They can work with the provinces to get these policies in place for the citizens of various provinces. In terms of what they've got on the list right now, I don't see any new legislation. Most of what they're talking about is either there already or in the works.
That's a great question. And these are the things that people are concerned about, you know, their pocketbooks, their taxation, benefits such as pharmacare and dental care will benefit many Canadians, but there's also a cost to that to some. And so, you know, when you look at all these different changes, there's going to be a lot of thoughts about, well, can I retire here? Will I be able to have the same kind of lifestyle that I had prior to this coalition? And we're going to talk about all the ways to bulletproof your retirement at our upcoming seminar.
There's lots of people questioning, yes, is it time? Do I wait? So join us Tuesday, March 29th, 7 p.m. live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Are you worried about inflation or how this volatility is impacting the markets and your portfolio? We're going to talk to one of the top money managers out there on things that you need to think about. Join us after the break on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.